we don't even think about gravity. We don't even think about looking or understanding electricity, even our breath. We don't see those things, but we live by them. And there's a Christ today that is willing to share his life with you in ways you never even imagined.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, April 12th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, He Walks With You. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Matthew chapter 28, very appropriate today, verse 20. It says this way. Let me back down. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you when?
Always.
I am with you what?
Always.
I am with you?
Always.
Thank you. You guys apparently are not with it. Always to the very end of the age. May God bless the reading of his word. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I've often asked the question, what did he do before he ascended into heaven? That will be a wonderful service that we'll have here in the church. But for 40 days, he stayed around. He did not ascend into heaven. He said to the disciples, I am going to be with you always. Mike, that means that it's not sometimes, not occasionally, but always. And yet he goes, he ascends into heaven. So the question for you and for me this morning is, he is with us how? How is he with us? And so for 40 days, the Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, spoke to his disciples. And those days, it was not just appearances, but there was a time of formation, of construction, teaching the disciples how to live with a present resurrected Christ. It's a brand new way of living. I find four very important teachings for us to take home with us this morning. The first thing is that Jesus shows us in those 40 days after the resurrection that his presence is real even when it's not recognized. Even when it's not recognized. That's the chapter 24 of the book of Luke on the road to Emmaus. All of a sudden, Jesus is walking away from Jerusalem, and as he's walking away from Jerusalem, and the disciples encountered this man and began to have a conversation. And in that conversation, you see what's going on. Jesus speaking, talking. He does not announce himself, and he doesn't tell the disciples, I am Jesus. He walks with them. He listens to them. He interprets their confusion. There's a dialogue going on. And Jesus, walking away from Jerusalem, it seemed like everybody was walking away from the hope that they had, from clarity of what was going on in the world. And everybody was saying, now what are we going to do? We invested over 3 years of our life in Jesus, and they crucified him. He is dead. They still did not know that he had risen from the dead. But Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was walking with them and talking with them and arguing with them. And actually, it's amazing how Jesus was interpreting their confusion. So what I want you to take home from this appearance is that Jesus is present. He is present before they understood. And he is present in your life before you understand him. That Jesus is speaking even when you don't recognize that he's speaking to you. And Jesus is guiding even before you perceive it. That's the history. That's what happened with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that all of a sudden, Jesus was walking with them. He was present with them. He was speaking to them. He was guiding them. Let me just tell you something very important to your life and to my life, that God's presence is not dependent on the awareness that he is present. You may not be aware, but he is. Say hello to him, will you? Well, good grief. Let me repeat that so maybe we can get going here, because I do want to end the service. God's presence does not depend on you being aware that he is present. Say hello to him.
Hello.
Oh, shoot, thank you, God. He is there. He is present with us. You know, there are moments in your life and in my life that later we will be able to say, God was there and I did not know it. God was working in my life, I did not perceive it. God is always going to be with you. Jesus is going to be with you. At the time, there was confusion. We did not know what was going to happen. But later, clarity showed up. And all of a sudden, we can see the fingerprints of God in our lives. So I want you to know, church, that we have a risen Savior. We have a Savior who is present with you and with me. Very clearly, we know that God's kingdom is an ever-present reality. And you and I are never outside of the presence of God. Many times we are unaware of it, but at the same time, I want you to know that even though you may be unaware of it, he is there. So an old song we used to sing, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. And we forget that, but don't forget it. Because Jesus this morning is walking with you, and he's talking with you, and he's reasoning with you. Yes, he has a conversation with you. Yes, he is. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very conversation we think we're having alone, he is involved. And we interact with the Lord with our thoughts, and we speak to the Lord with our thoughts and with our mind. That's where he is. God's kingdom is a kingdom of words. He speaks and it's done. And he speaks to you and he speaks to me. Even when we don't know we're having a dialogue with the Lord, you're having a dialogue with the Lord. May I encourage you to entertain the Lord's presence. And may I let you know that, yes, it's the Lord speaking to you. Yes, it's the Lord walking with you. Yes, it's the Lord right there discerning your thoughts. Yeah, and you thought it was just you. The Lord is with you. Then on Luke 24... there is a second appearance that there are many, but this is the ones that I'm making reference to. His presence is concrete. It's not symbolic. It's not abstract. In Luke 24, I kind of get disappointed, but I understand the text. Jesus likes to eat fish. I wish it would be lamb or big old steak. But in chapter 24, we find that Jesus talked to his disciples, and he wants some fish, and he's going to cook some fish for them. And he eats fish with them. He eats with them. It's an appearance that shows us something very critical, that Jesus really resurrected. It's not a metaphor. It's not a story. It's not something inspirational. It's not something that just people talk about. No, Jesus was embodied reality. He really rose from the dead, and he ate fish. I like fish. Brother, have a tomahawk, but that's okay. But here is the real shift that I see in this, is that Jesus, who was fully real, all of a sudden was going to be unseen. You see him in a physical body, in physicality, but he's going to change in a while, because he's going to poof, disappear. He's unseen, but he is present. So his presence is concrete, and he is there. Unseen does not mean unreal. He is real with you. The disciples had to learn that though they may not see him, he is really there. It doesn't surprise us. We don't even think about gravity. We don't even think about looking or understanding electricity, even our breath. We don't see those things, but we live by them. And there's a Christ today that is willing to share his life with you in ways you never even imagined. There's a Christ today who really wants to have some fish with you, wants to have a snack with you. He has mate with me most of the time. We don't understand this really, but the most real presence in your life may be the one that you cannot see. You don't see him, but he's there. You can't imagine his presence and how he really guides your life. Jesus is not less real because he's unseen. He is fundamentally more reality than anything or anyone else. There's nothing more real in the universe than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I was thrilled to see some of the pictures that the spaceship came back with. I saw that. I just get emotional when I see the beautiful moon, gray. But then I look at the earth, blue. That's where I live. I live in the blue, not in the gray. The beautiful creation, people are discovering creation as being enormously bigger than they could ever imagine. That's what Jesus did. Sometimes they ask this pastor, why do you think he made so many trillions and trillions of galaxies? And the pastor asked, he was showing off how much he can do. All I can tell you is that Christ is real. But more real than the universe we live in is Christ. He is more real fundamentally than anybody else could possibly be. So I'm not trying to convince you to think of a Christ that is so invisible. I am trying to convince you that there can be an awakening of his presence and that he is sustaining your life even as we speak. Invisible he may be, but active he is. He is sustaining your life right now. He is the one who likes to eat fish. It's a third thing. His presence is personal, not just generalized. And this is important for me to say, because in John 21, we find Peter. And Peter is quite a case. And if you study the life of Peter, he goes, has his ups and his downs. But here we find Jesus preparing breakfast. See, he likes to eat, doesn't he? Breakfast. And it's in chapter 21, verse 12, where he's actually has some coals. It's burning coals, ready to put the fish. He will ask the disciples to bring in some of the fish they had just caught. But I'm telling you, this is good. Because he's sitting there, like I would like to sit in the beach and have fish. Okay, I'll say it, fish. But he presents himself, listen, not in a sermon. He is not there with a bunch of crowds of people around him. He is having a meal. He's having a meal. And then he has a question. And he says to Peter, do you love me? Good grief. Over breakfast, do you love me? Jesus is going to restore Peter because of his great fall. But he doesn't do it publicly to humiliate him. He doesn't do it in an abstract way, but personally. He addresses you. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the risen Christ is addressing you this morning. He asks you, do you love me? The presence of Christ meets us at every level of our story. Christ comes to you. And in Peter's denial, he denied it while he was warming his hands in the fire. Now there is a fire in the sea, and he is cooking fish, and he says, do you love me? They were asking questions to Peter. Aren't you with him? Aren't you with him? And he denied him. Jesus now talks to him with a question, repeated times, do you love me? Do you love me? And then he renews the calling, feed my sheep. You see, we all have moments in life when we need restoration. There are times that we have sunk so low, but Jesus comes, and at breakfast, he speaks to you and says, do you love me? Think of this way. as you know, I teach at Azusa and another place at the Facultad as well, and it's very difficult for me to remember names. As a matter of fact, where are you? Are you Gloria or are you Esther? No, you're Esther, okay. For 30 years, I've called her Gloria, and Gloria's been with the Lord for quite a while. I don't have a good mind for names. That's one of the big hazards of being a pastor, not remembering the names. But anyway, the Lord has helped me compensate. But I do often remember names in certain circumstances. And in class, we have 30 or 40 students. And, I remember when I was a student and the teacher would remember my name and would call me by my name. Oh, my goodness, he knows who I am. With my students, they don't really have that much of a joy, but maybe they're happy. Maybe they're happy. But when you know the student's name, when you know them, you're saying to the student, I know who you are. And Jesus calls him by his name, Peter. When you call him by the first name, you know there's struggle. Jesus knew the struggle that Peter had. When faculty of professors talk to me with my name, they know my struggle. They know my story. And that changes everything. Because it's not just a general thing. It's the Lord speaking directly, privately to you. And it's nobody's business except you and the Lord. The resurrected Christ does that, just that, in your life and in my life all the time. Now, today, present the Lord in our hearts, but in a deeper, wider, accessible way, he speaks to you. So how is he with you? He's with you in three different ways. I need to conclude because we have communion. First of all, I want you to know that you will find Jesus speaking directly to you when you open the pages of Scripture. He says that the Scriptures gave testimony of him. Do you want to have a conversation with him? Go to the pages of God's Word and spend time. Read the Word. You will find Jesus in the Word. You will. As a matter of fact, in the road to Emmaus, Jesus opened the Scriptures to the disciples. And their hearts were burned with the joy of God speaking to them. Listen, there is something about reading the Word and for the Word to become open to you. And when you're reading the Word and your hearts are open, the Lord is speaking directly to your heart. That's where you find the Lord. Jesus is not silent. He is speaking to you, and he's speaking to me all the time through his Word. The problem is often we're not listening. It's amazing, you know. If I want to see my favorite show, Law and Order, in order for me to see it, I have to turn on the TV. If you want to hear the Lord, you got to turn on the TV. You got to go into the Scriptures. You got to seek the Lord. Second thing you find Jesus is through the Spirit of God. Jesus told the disciples, don't do anything until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God would reveal Christ to them. And so I want you to know that the Spirit of God is the one that helps you understand the Word of God. He is the one that opens your mind. The Holy Spirit is the living presence of Christ in your life, within us. And the Spirit of God is closer than your thoughts, closer than your breath. He guides you. He prompts you. He reminds you. You and I have the Holy Spirit. For the moment that we're born again, the Spirit of God comes into our lives. And at that moment, you and I can count on the Spirit of God guiding our thoughts. You read the Word, your brain catches it, the Spirit of God works in your heart, and you begin to say, this is for me. And there privately, God addresses the issues of life. He goes deep into your life. Boy, does he go deep. He knows the deep things of you and me. He goes deeper than anyone can ever go through the Word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there's a third place where you will find Jesus. You'll find him in the Scriptures. You'll find him in the Spirit. But you'll also find him in community. Because Jesus says, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am also. So should I ask you to say hello to Jesus? Oh, you're learning, huh? But Jesus is here. This is why it's so dreadful when people neglect the coming together. When we say to people, come to church, it's not for any other reason except for you to meet Jesus in a very different way. Jesus is here. He is made known among us. Here is where we understand how God is working universally, how God is working in our congregation. The idea of the Lord speaking to us by coming together as a community, it is huge. It's huge. Sometimes we don't come to church and we miss out. And people have different reasons why they don't come to church. But there should be one reason you want to come to church, is because you're going to see Jesus there. You're going to see Jesus in the faces of your brothers and your sisters. You're going to see Jesus in the preaching of the word. You're going to see Jesus in the singing, in the worship. You're going to see Jesus as you go out and have a tamale or whatever they're having over there. You're going to see Jesus in communion and fellowship. You're going to see Jesus in people's faces. Jesus is here. And the idea of coming together, you will recognize the presence of God in each other, and you will see what God is doing in your life. I tell you, sometimes I see Jesus more clearly when I see you, when I speak to you, or we speak together and we have a conversation. Sometimes we see Christ better in the life of others than ourselves. But don't you ever forget, you have the Word of God. Yes, you do. You have the Spirit of God, yeah, but you also have community. And here is what God begins to speak. He says, I am with you always. How? The way we just told you. Not as a memory, not in a distance, but through the Word, through the Spirit of God, and through community. The Lord is here. So if I conclude, when you are confused, I want you to know that He is present right there. When you ask yourself questions, why? Why? By the way, why is a horrible question to ask? Horrible question to ask. Because even if He were to tell you why, you will not be happy. Why? ¿Qué te importa? It happened. Why? Why? Like if that's going to change anything. God works His ways in our lives. We have to accept God's word. He is present in your confusion. Phew. Did you wake up confused this morning? Well, He was present there. He was there. He is present in your ordinary life. At breakfast. Eating fish. It's hard for me to get over that. Eating fish, nothing wrong with that. Love fish. Trout. He's present in your personal story, your denials, your betrayals. He's there. He's present in your personal story. He knows all about your struggles. He knows. He doesn't justify or doesn't excuse you for doing crazy things, but He's there. And He will tell you, do you really love me? Until you finally say, Lord, you know all things. Yes, He is there. Every place you go, He is there. And He tells His church, I want you to go to the ends of the world. And for some of us, the end of the world is coming to church. For some of you, going into the end of the world is spend some time in the presence of God with the Word of God opened. But He's there. So Jesus rose from the dead. Last Sunday we celebrated that. And I want you to know that Jesus is still here. And that Jesus is not absent. And one day He will return in glory. But in the meantime, He's inviting you and inviting me to live as if He will be right here, right now. And He is. You and I don't have to wait for His return. He's here already. In your heart, in my heart. So again, I conclude. by simply saying Jesus rose from the dead, and he said, I will be with you, will be with you always. He is here, right there, next to you. Right there, right now. In the innermost part of your thoughts, in the moments of difficulty and in the moments of conflict, in the moments of questions, in the moments that you can't describe. He knows your injury. He knows the abuse that existed in your life. He knows all about you. There is nothing he does not know, and he would like to have a conversation with you. Maybe not over fish, but over something. That's the Lord I serve. That's the Lord I've served for years. I don't want to tell you how many years. But he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that I have with him can never, ever be better than that. He cares for me. He understands me. He knows my pains. He knows my insecurity. How many are insecure here this morning? Oh, good grief. Don't raise your hands. For those people who are on camera land, 75 people here. No, 125 people here raise their hands. He knows I'm exaggerating. Insecurities, conflict of interest, deficits. But he also knows your joy and your disposition to serve him. So the risen Savior is here, and he wants to walk with you and talk with you. One more time, one more thing, I should say. When we have communion, it is a very special time. For communion is when we break bread together. And if I can tell you that Jesus is present in a fourth dimension or in a fourth way, would be at communion table. For as you eat the bread and you drink the wine, the cup, we would say, the presence of God is there. And by faith, we appropriate everything that Christ was done, and we remember him as he was walking and as he is walking in our lives, and how he's helping us, how he's giving us the strength and the energy to resolve the issues that so burdened us. Will you still stop it and let the Lord do it for you? Don't mess with God. Say, have your way, Lord. Even when you don't understand it, the Lord is there to help you. He is the one who works in our lives. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for just thinking through, Lord, that you are with us in so many special ways. In the morning and in the afternoon and in the evening, you're there. You're in our thoughts. You're in our lives. Even when we acknowledge your presence and then when we don't know you're here. Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for that promise, Lord. But I pray that we will avail ourselves of your presence, that we would appropriate that presence, that we would take time to be close to you, that we would devote time of our lives to simply listen to what you have to say to us, that we would go to your word, that we would be enlightened by your spirit, Lord. Yes, Lord, that we would have fellowship with one another as ways of expressing your proximity to our lives. So we thank you and we praise you. Lord, bless our communion together, that you would magnify yourself, that you would reveal yourself, that you would bring strength and life to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen, Lord, and amen. Can I hear an amen again? clap to the Lord this Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. I know you will.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.